The first of our readings this morning is from the second book of Samuel. Now in this passage we hear King David described as a living in a comfortable place he had built for himself after he had been a very successful warrior. Reflecting on his comfortable conditions, he realized that the Ark of the Covenant, which was an ornate box to contain the commandments received by Moses and a sacred sign of God's presence with his people, that the Ark was still protected only by a tent. After a discussion with the prophet Nathan, David decided to build a temple for the Ark. God's response to David through Nathan is that God does not need or want a structural house built, because in God's covenant with him, David's house or descendants will be part of God's promise and purpose forever. God's faithfulness and calling extend to all people, giving evidence that God is with us. I don't know how you intend celebrating Christmas, but I know that in the past 20 plus years, since Christine and I have been involved in church ministry, our Christmases have taken on a completely different complexion. I was once asked, "Are you busy at Christmas?" My response was, "Well, if we're not busy at Christmas, when are we going to be busy?" "Oh yes, Easter." I remember the time when we had our manger set up at home. It wasn't quite as big as this one, but nonetheless, we had the manger set up and our son decided that Jesus was missing, because we had that tradition where we wouldn't feature Jesus in the manger setting until Christmas Day. And we came home one day to find out that he'd taken an elastic band and turned the little baby Jesus head down and attached it to Mary. And then I thought, yeah, sex education in schools. But let's just pause for a moment and go back to that gospel reading. There are some important aspects, not only of that reading by what Luke tells us, but also what is missed out of the story, according to what we would tend to expect. There's no mention in that story, in the gospel reading that we had, of Mary's parents. There's no heading back to tell Mum that she has spoken with an angel. There's no reference in any of that whole nativity story about Mary's parents. Likewise, there's no reference to Joseph in the conversation that Mary has with the angel. She doesn't say, "Well, Gabriel, can you just hang on a minute? I think I'd better go and check with my husband-to-be and see if he agrees." We have, however, the example of Mary's obedience. We do know that she was betrothed to Joseph. And we know from research, historical research, that a betrothal of that era meant that it was binding upon the couple to marry unless the male could find a suitable reason for cancelling the arrangement. We also know that the tradition dictated that they would have no relationship with each other, apart from, shall we say, cordial conversation, that it wouldn't go any further than that. So that perhaps gives reason as to why Mary says, well, how is this going to happen? How is it going to occur? So what does Gabriel first tell her? Do not be afraid. Do not be worried. Don't be afraid what I'm about to tell you, but also don't be afraid about what's going to happen. Now, if we inject that into our own life, when we are faced with certain crises, we might not have the angel Gabriel standing physically in front of us at a time, but I know that when we do face crises, and we tend to panic. Mary had a perfect reason to panic, did she not? But she is assured by the messenger from God, don't be afraid. Don't worry. This is going to work out. And so let's just keep that in the back of our mind about something that God tells us at the time that we face crisis. It's also interesting to note that part of the message from the angel Gabriel is that your relative, Elizabeth, in her old age, the one who the whole community knew was barren, is going to have a child. And she's in the sixth month. So Gabriel is conveying to Mary the message that you're not alone in this. You're not alone. Now let's again store the message for you and I in life circumstance that we need not be alone. When we are faced with a crisis or a difficulty or a challenge, we need not be alone. We may be able to find comfort in other people, other sufferers, in a support group, or through some group that we can join, or even find within the hospital ward or the setting others who are journeying that same way as we may be. We need not be alone. God will be with us, and God will provide us the support. We have that perfect example of Mary hearing about Elizabeth. And while it wasn't part of the gospel reading for today, we know that when she visits Elizabeth, Elizabeth is overjoyed at the news. And we have that beautiful part of the story where Elizabeth says that when you told me that news, the child within me leapt for joy. So we have that sharing of circumstance and therefore an easing of burden. So in recognizing that she's not alone, Mary responds to God, and in essence she says, let me become what you have called me to be. Isn't that a delightful statement? Let me become what you have called me to be. What a beautiful example of obedience. But you know, there's many experiences in life that make us stronger, that make us more aware of God's presence, and therefore give us the opportunity to, while we may not have used those words, but to become what we have been called to be. know that is the reason why many people join support groups. That having been through a journey and knowing how hard some of life's journeys can be, they would like to make it a bit easier for another person. And it gives a wonderful expression to pastoral care to those people that want to be able to share something of their life experience to ease the burden on another. So, what may have seemed initially to Mary as impossible, Gabriel assures her that it is not impossible for God. And again, storing in our memory bank that when we go through difficulties and we may think that all is lost, all is not lost with God. There is something better to come. Now, just linking back into the gospel story again, of course, Mary is assured that the child that she is to carry will be part of a line of descendants, that will be part of David's line. We'll sing of that tonight when we sing Once in Royal David City. I forget whether I put it on the list for this service or not. We did. Well, we'll sing it later in the service then. Now, do you know that in the gospel stories, the Gospel of Matthew traces one line of descendants for Jesus, and the Gospel of Luke in chapter 3 traces a different line. Yet both of them connect back to David, to Abraham, to creation. It's often been said that the line of David in the Matthew story is taken through the male line, whereas the Luke story of the descendants is taken through the mother's line. It's not entirely correct, but it does give some credence as to why there would be two lines. But both of them, taking different lines, still go back to the same origin. And that must again have been another comfort for Mary, surely. An incredible task that she was going to be asked to do, but that there was comfort for her in the fact that she was part of a bigger picture of God. And so that small picture that she had at that point of time became part of a much bigger picture. And indeed, another thing to put in the back of our mind is when we are in those sorts of circumstances, perhaps it's an idea to look back through the family and find out if there's a genetic predisposition to something, or that other members of the family could perhaps have had a similar encounter. And that brings comfort, because it brings knowledge and it brings further wisdom into a circumstance. So here we are, the shortest of Advents this year, about to begin our Christmas services this evening. We read of the angel Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she will give birth to this special child. We read of her surprise at the announcement. We read of the comfort that she receives in the knowledge of Elizabeth and of the descendants. We also hear of God's love, God's support, and God's knowledge of the bigger picture. So we are reminded in just this story that God is with us in so many different ways to achieve his purpose in our lives, in the way in which he achieved his purpose in Mary and in her life. And I believe that if we link back with our earlier Bible readings, we are reminded that God's dwelling is with us. Not in a physical structure that, like David, wanted to build the temple, but God is with us. God was with Mary, God was with David, God was with you and I. And God will always be, because the house of David was to be a spiritual house. Fair enough, Solomon built the temple at a later time. But when we think of where God is in our life, we only need to look in the mirror and see the face of God looking back at us, because God is with us. And thank God, he is.